Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight we'll look back at the 0-0 draw against Kilmarnock, look ahead to fixtures against Aberdeen and St Johnston in the company of Jane Buster, and we welcome back Andy Patterson. How's it going, pal?
I'm good, thanks. Nice to be back, gents.
How's the rest of the guys?
Aye, no bad.
Aye, very good, thanks.
Good stuff. Oh, Jill, I'll start with yourself and yesterday's 0-0 draw against Kelly. A game that we passed up a number of opportunities, but it was fairly dull, fairly turgid, particularly when you compare it to last week's thriller at Fir Park against Celtic. We talked about the importance of winning the game on last week's podcast. We've not managed to do that. And I think we will possibly look back on it as a bit of an opportunity missed.
Yeah, I think when you look at some of the chances we had, particularly in comparison to the sort of lack of chances that Kilmarnock had, you have to think of it as 2 points dropped, in my opinion. I think you're right. Overall, I thought it was a pretty poor game. I think both Chick Young and Tam Cowan on the radio afterwards described it as dross. You know, they're not far wrong. I thought it was quite a dire affair. Not really any, you know, moments of magic, no real creativity at times. That said, when Ross McLean missed his chance, it was a really, really good move that led up to it. But overall, I just think that we weren't really, I don't know, we just seemed to be lacking something. There wasn't a creative spark. There wasn't that little bit of edge that perhaps Chrissy Cadden might have given us if he was in the team. Kilmarnock seemed quite content with a point. You know, as the game went on, they were quite happy to stretch the play and to try and run down the clock at times. So I think they're more than happy with a point. But for us, I think particularly when you look back at the highlights and you look at some of the chances we missed, as poor a game as it was, there's absolutely no question that we were the better team in terms of chances, at least. And if you're going to play a team like Kilmarnock at home in the midst of the schedule that we've got, you are going to regret, you know, missing the chances we did. I just hope that we don't come to regret it too much.
Andy, it was notable for the first half. I think Kilmarnock possibly were more than a match for us in the first half, but the chances we missed were pretty glaring ones. One fall into Lionel Lainsworth. There was a chance for Ross McLean, a chance for Craig Clay. When you've got guys like Scott McDonald and Louis Moult amongst your ranks, you kind of almost kind of curse the fact that it fell to other players, because particularly Moult just now in such a clinical mood. I know that in the second half, Scott Boyd made a really good challenge when Moult was in goal, but we've got to be taking chances like that, particularly Ainsworth, who I know that he's normally quite composed in front of goal, but it was a pretty glaring miss that yesterday.
Yeah, that's the kind of chances Lionel's put away routinely. You know, over the past 3-4 years, he's normally got a quite venomous shot whenever he's placed in similar situations, and you can recall a few kind of, you know, screamers that he's put in from similar positions in that part of the box. So, you know, when he was fed through there, kind of fully expected the back of the net to bulge, and, you know, it's disappointing that it kind of blazed over. Ross McLean, at the very least, you know, you're always asking to make the keeper make a save, and he did that. So, you know, not quite so glaring a miss, but two opportunities, you know, within a few seconds of one another, that, you know, are really game changing decisions or opportunities. Such a tight game, you know, getting that goal changes the whole complexion of it. And, you know, as Jay said, Kilmarnock, although I was surprised to read that they actually apparently had more shots and a goal effort, so more shots and target, I was, you know, I can't really remember that much of a threat from them. So had we got ahead, you know, you were struggling to see where Kilmarnock were going to come back from. And again, we went on into the second half, and chances that you would routinely expect, you know, Louis to put away, and, you know, unfortunately the deflected effort come in, and, you know, McDonald, that was if anything was deserving of a goal in the afternoon, that was it. That was probably the best piece of football throughout the entire match. So it's disappointing that we weren't able to get ahead and, you know, get the goal. I felt we kind of merited over the piece, but it's such a tight division. You know, the very fact that everything was all square, and like most of the other games, it feels even more of a missed opportunity than simply drawing, you know, with a team round about you. You know, there was an opportunity. Granted, we've moved a point clearer, further away from Thistle, but, you know, it was an opportunity to put a wee bit of distance, you know, between a couple of teams, and unfortunately we'll let it slide, but it's one of these things. I mean, you just need to put it behind us now. I'm sure we're going to talk about the games coming up, but, you know, it's just a case of moving on to those next ones. I mean, I'm not overly pessimistic. There's the division is such that, you know, we've seen results kind of come out of the blue, that, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if we did go and sneak a point at Aberdeen, or we managed to get a result against them at Fir Park. So not too despondent at the moment, but, you know, rabbited on a fair bit. You could summarise it just as Jay said, really, you know, missed opportunity.
Yeah, Buster, I don't know how I'm kind of fairly glass half full as well when it comes to our chances in the upcoming games. And although I do kind of look back now in the Celtic game and losing a late goal and then failing to take our chances yesterday, we really should have done a bit better than 1 point from the last six.
I think so. You know, as you say, 1 point for six games is, no matter who they're against, it's not great.
No, we've been in 1 point out of the last 6 points.
Fair dues. Sorry, because I was struggling there. Thinking, I don't know if we ever got just 1 point there, but the last two then. Sorry, you saying yeah. Definitely. I didn't make it longer to football yesterday. But when I was watching the highlights and even looking at some of the stats, I mean, I'm going to quote the BBC on the shots on target, and you know, for previous matches, we know how dodgy they are. But for the chances we created, it's, you know, and apparently we only had a couple of shots on target. That's the worrying part of all it. You know, those at the clean sheet, fair enough. Chances created, fair enough. But they have only a couple of shots, whether it was two or whether it was a bit more on target. You know, that's a bit worrying. You think that, you know, especially when it comes to playing teams who are on about our level. You know, as we've pointed out there, we've got a couple of hard games coming up. Games where you maybe not expect, or maybe not be as hopeful of winning, but home against a team similar to our level, that's where you want to be picking up the 3 points, and it's fairly disappointing that we didn't manage it yesterday.
Jay, just a final one in yesterday's game. Dom Thomas coming off the bench, and I know he's a figure that we talk about quite a lot in the podcast, and I think most of it comes out of frustration that he's not been able to kick on in the way that most of us expected to. The thing that really is noticeable for me now is there's quite a few guys that perhaps weren't expected to break through as quickly or were below Thomas in the pecking order have now overtaken him. The likes of David Ferguson, Ross McLean, Chris Cadden even came in after Thomas did, and they've all made a mark. Jack McMillan, another one. That's Jake Hastie now playing more games as well than Dom is, and it was quite noticeable that he just doesn't look anything like the player that we kind of hoped they would develop into. And I know there's still another year and a bit of his contract remaining, well, a season and a half to go, but I'm now at the stage where I can't actually see any future for Dom Thomas at Fir Park, which is a disappointing thing to say, but it just seems to be on the periphery. He's not playing in the 20s, whether that be in case he's required for the first team or because perhaps he's not even kind of viewed in Stephen Craigan's eyes as someone that merits a place in that team. It's a confusing one to look at, but in my own opinion, I don't see Thomas getting a chance in front of guys like Ross McLean, then Lionel Ainsworth. You think that Dom's at least third in the list there, which won't afford them very many opportunities.
Well, that's it. I think, you know, the player that we saw during the League Cup against East Stirling, who started, and then the player that came off the bench yesterday, and both of those performances were examples, in my opinion, of a player who really needs to be getting first team football somewhere. I tend to agree. I think he has obviously dropped a little bit. I think it's, you know, perhaps partly to do with his own form and you know, his own development. But I think you've also got to recognise that in the context of a lot of young players coming in and doing really well. I mean, you know, you mentioned Cadden, and in particular Ross McLean, who I've been impressed with since he's came into the first team. I think those are good examples because they both, you know, play a similar, you know, attacking at times on the wing sort of game as does Dom Thomas. So I do agree that he's perhaps stagnated a little bit, but you know, yesterday was a good example of a player who came on. His first touch wasn't great. You know, he struggled to get into the game a little bit. I know he was only on for a short period of time, but you had, you know, the moment where Scott McDonald was going off his nut at him because McDonald gets the ball. There's a big open space where any winger worth their salt is going to, you know, make the run into it, and Thomas just didn't do it. Not entirely sure why, but I tend to think that it's perhaps because he's not playing first team football, so he's perhaps not, you know, mentally and physically match fit. And I think we need to make a decision. You either decide that you're going to include him with the likes of McLean and, you know, Ferguson and McMillan and give him more opportunities, or you need to send him out on loan for the rest of the season, because at the end of the day, we are in danger of having a player who is now going to, you know, again sit on the bench for, you know, a month, 2 months, will come on for 15, 20 minutes, won't impress, and will just be in this cycle until, you know, his contract runs out. I think a sort of player who, you know, you don't sort of lose the potential that he had overnight, and he's not old enough yet to say that's gone. I still think that there could be a player there, but it's not going to happen at Firth Park. You know, he has to be moved on, at least on loan, for the near future, because it's absolutely pointless having a player like Dom Thomas and bringing him on, you know, for 10 minutes every 4 or 5 weeks, because it doesn't do anybody any good. It certainly doesn't benefit us, because you bring on a player who doesn't have the sharpness that he needs to contribute well to the game, and it certainly doesn't benefit Dom Thomas because he is stagnating as a footballer.
Andy, I think that's significant. You think you're bringing on a winger with 10, 15 minutes to go. It's either to try and swing the game in your favour, it's because perhaps you're getting beat, or the other kind of scenario is that you're cruising and it's just to kind of pass some time and give someone a run out. These aren't scenarios that suit Dom Thomas to make his mark, which, as Jay's already kind of alluded to, that because of that, you can't really see a pathway into the first team with some of the younger guys. They're playing hard, working well in the 20s, and there is clearly a direct pathway between the 20s and the first team. Dom Thomas is kind of stuck in some sort of middle land there, where there just doesn't seem to be any kind of route to him playing on a regular basis with Motherwell.
Oddly enough, it may be that the emergence of Hasty and McLean does actually give him that scope to go out on loan, because you're quite correct, he has been stuck in a kind of a no man's land for the best part of 2 years now, whereby he was reckoned to be too good for 20s, but not quite there for the first team, and he was constantly on the bench for, you know, so many months. Those 2 years, where exactly as you say, he was maybe getting 10, 15 minutes here or there. If he got a start, you know, he was doing particularly well. When he did get the start, because he wasn't, you know, attuned to first team football, he didn't quite have the same impact as we hoped. But the kind of size of the squad then kind of meant that you couldn't really send him out on loan, because he may be required, and his potential was that, you know, he may come on and do something if he did get, you know, the opportunity and did impress. Whereas now we do have scope, you know, we do have Cads there, we do have Hasty, we do have McLean, you also get Ainsworth for at least, you know, the next 6 months. So we do have a bit of cover there. You even put Joe Chambers in left midfield, as he likes to do on occasion. No, not that I'm suggesting that, but you know, there are options there on either kind of wing, whereby that you could conceivably send them out on loan now, and it wouldn't really have a necessarily an impact on the squad, because you have these other youngsters have emerged, and that to me is the, you know, is the option. Now whether you can get by with an emergency loan, if we still have those kind of things where you can get 3 months loan, or whether you send them out for 6 months, I don't know. But you know, I can only agree that it would be interesting to see what he comes back, if he does have 6 months or 3 months of regular football, whatever level that may be. You can use examples in the past where, you know, Cadden's had the time at Albion Rovers, and he quite clearly developed as a player from, you know, the time he spent there, you know, helping them to promotion when he was there. Going back even further, you'd Ross Forbes, who for 3-4 months when he came back, having had the opportunity to play regular football with Dumbarton, was a, you know, a different player entirely from the one that had left. You know, he came back fully confident, fully belief, you know, and demonstrated quite well for, you know, first couple of months what he could do. And you would hope that that's an option. There's the other ones as well. Erwin had time at Arbroath, came back, you know, when he wasn't injured, looked the part there. So, I mean, there are definitely examples whereby, you know, players have come back and they've been able to do a, you know, a turn for us. Maybe not an extended period, but they've come back and done a turn on the back of having a successful loan period. And, you know, it seems the obvious route for Dom now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another notable thing yesterday was his stature. He's kind of physically, he doesn't seem to have really bulked up. He does look a bit slight, and it was quite clear when he's coming up against some of the bigger defenders that he's going to be quite easily pushed off the ball and kind of dominated almost. So it'll be interesting to see. Maybe a step down the leagues actually will force him into kind of bulking up and being a bit more physical, because I don't think in this league you can be kind of too small, and that's at the moment. I don't think Thomas has got the physical attributes to make it in this league, but as we've discussed there, there's still hope, and fingers crossed that you can kind of turn things around, because I can't really see much hope for him just now.
Buster, I think.
Sorry,
I think we've left it too late for Dom Thomas for ourselves, as you say. You know, he's got a year and a half left. He should have went in on loan, you know, this year, last year, and the year before. I was one for sending him out on loan as soon as he got anywhere near the first team. He wasn't going to get in the first team, but as you said, there was a lot of promise there initially. And you know, now every time he comes on, you hear the same people say the same things about him, and it's sad to see that he's not getting anywhere near where we thought he probably could be. So, I think if he goes on loan, even if he does go on loan, sorry, you know, I don't think he's I don't think he's going to come back to ourselves. We probably end up, as you say, maybe stepping down before he takes a step back up again.
Yeah, what we'll do is we'll look at the Aberdeen game, and Busta, I was going to come to you first because I quite rudely didn't ask you any questions about Dom Thomas, but you managed to get to say your piece anyway, so that was good. It's a difficult place to go. We're well aware of that. The last time we recorded a victory was that game that's been made appearances in social media over the last couple of days, the 1-0 victory that secured second spot. So a couple of seasons without any joy at Pittodrie. Saying that, they've had a tough time since losing the League Cup final, a defeat at Ibrox. They then did bounce back with an emphatic win over Killie, but drew a blank yesterday against St Johnstone. While it's a very difficult game, it's not one that we should go into expecting to be turned over. We've got to go in a positive frame of mind and try and get a result, because after all, when we were positive against clearly the best side in the league, Celtic, a few weeks ago, we tested them, we pushed them almost to the limit. There's no reason to believe that we can't do the same against Aberdeen if the mindset's right.
No, you know, again, I've said it a million times on this. I think that anybody can beat anybody on their day in this league, you know, apart from maybe Celtic at the moment, who, you know, running away with things. From second place down, basically, you know, it's if you turn up on the day and the other team maybe doesn't, you're in with a chance to win. It's been a while since we won up at Pittodrie. Going up there, I don't think too many people will be confident of a win, but it's certainly something that you need to go in thinking, you know, we can at least at least we should be looking for a point. But as you said, you know, Aberdeen are doing really well. Now there seems to be like a couple of wee groups settling in the league here. It's, you know, Celtic, then it seems to be Rangers, Aberdeen and Hearts. St Johnstone are sort of in the middle of themselves. You know, St Johnstone are doing very well, as you know, the last couple of seasons as well. They seem to just constantly spin around about fourth or fifth. You know, that's where they seem to be at the moment. And then from sixth place down, I think it's Kilmarnock that's in sixth, I'm not sure. But from that place down, you know, it just seems to be the rest is. And as I say, you know, they might not have won against St Johnstone at home, but St Johnstone are a pretty decent team as well. So it was certainly a tough test for us. But as you say, you can't go there thinking you're going to lose. You have to go there, basically, you have to go there every game looking for a win. But I think if we got a point, it will be a good point.
Jay, it's a big week, and it's a very difficult week ahead. Two grounds that we tend to struggle at, McDermott Park in the last couple of seasons. It's just been narrow defeats. Twice last season we took the lead against St Johnstone at McDermott Park and went on to lose the game 2-1. Buster's exactly right in what he's saying about Saints. They just seem to fly under the radar, and what's more incredible is that Tommy Wright hasn't earned the job at a higher level as well, because the job that he's done at St Johnstone is incredible. They're very much an established top six side, and what is a restrained budget. The consistency isn't any sort of issue. They've pulled away from the teams battling down at the bottom and can pretty much avoiding any sort of horror run. I think they'll be pretty much guaranteed to be in the top six again this season. It's hard to see where the wins will come from, but at the same time, I can't help but think that on our day we're more than capable of winning a match, and it's just you've got to have a wee bit of luck, but there's no reason to believe that we can't win these games. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not really basing it in any real reasons of what I saw yesterday or even beyond that this season, but our luck's got to turn away from home eventually. We've not won since the opening day. I do believe that this is the week that we're going to change that, but where it will be, I'm not quite sure.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, as Buster says, apart from Celtic, everybody does have the potential to beat everybody else. We are incredibly inconsistent. And I suppose, you know, the terrible thing about being inconsistent is it does lead to, you know, some awful displays and some terrible defeats. But the good thing about it means that there is always a chance that you might go into a game at Pittodrie or McDermott Park and have a blinder. Because we are capable of it. You know, look at the first half against Celtic, you know, the first half against Accies. You know, there have been some good performances this season where we've played, you know, fast, exciting, attacking football. We've really pressed and taken the game to the opposition. Not that I'm suggesting we'll do that, you know, in two very difficult places to go. We might be more defensive-minded. But we have shown this season that we do, in spells, have the ability to be a really, really good football team. And like everybody, again, other than Celtic, you know, Aberdeen and St Johnstone at times this season haven't been at their best. They have been poor. Again, not as much as we have, but in spells. So in football, you always have the chance that we might, you know, be inconsistent and go from a pretty drab 0-0 at Kilmarnock to a fantastic victory at Pittodrie. But, you know, it is going to be quite an important period in our season, not just the next two games, but right up to the new year. Every week we're on the podcast talking about how tight the league is. And that is we usually use it as a comfort. It's usually, well, it doesn't really matter that we just lost because the league's still quite tight, so there's still plenty of time to get out of it. But it's probably unlikely, you know, as most seasons tell us, it's probably unlikely that it's still going to be that tight come the end of the season. At some point, it's going to stop being as tight as it is, and you're going to start to see, you know, more of the groups that Buster was talking about. You know, you'll have your Celtic, you'll have your Rangers, Hearts and Aberdeen. Then you'll have the teams fighting for, you know, the top six. You'll have perhaps, you know, mid-table obscurity and then those in the relegation zone. It's going to start to get, you know, divided in that manner pretty soon, I think, particularly over the next few weeks, because there are, you know, a lot of games coming thick and fast. And we need to make sure that we're picking up points, because all it takes is one or two of the teams around us to get their shit together and to score a couple of goals and maybe get a wee bit of luck, and suddenly, you know, you're looking up the table and we're no longer just, you know, a point or two off of sixth place. We're suddenly, you know, 5-6 points, as things start to look a little bit more bleak. So, you know, as much as everybody can beat everybody, you know, we still need to get into these games looking for vital, vital points, whether it's a point, you know, whatever. But, you know, simply just thinking, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter. It's a hard place to go, but everybody can beat everybody, so hopefully we win. We really need to take the, you know, understand the importance of the games we're currently in the midst of. And just one thing on St Johnstone, like you said there, I think St Johnstone are, in the context of the size of the club and the fans, you know, they're a very similar club to ourselves, and I think St Johnstone are probably one of the biggest success stories of, you know, Scottish football for the last number of years. So that's a very difficult place to go. But again, who knows? We could be doing a podcast in a week's time after, you know, 4 or possibly 6 points.
And a significant thing to consider as well is the next, over the course of 15 days, we'll have visited Aberdeen, Perth, Inverness, all difficult places to go. And for the fans, it's a very expensive time of year as well. It's going to be difficult for us to take much of the support to these games. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that's going to pick and choose my games over the next couple of weeks, because basically that's just, unfortunately, the reality of life at this time of year. So it's going to be difficult for the players, particularly on Tuesday night, where I would imagine that we'll be lucky to take 30, 40 Motherwell fans to Aberdeen on a Tuesday night. Certainly full credit to those that are going to make the trip, but things are, it's a difficult time of year to get along and support your team.
Yeah, I don't quite understand the thinking behind rescheduling this one. I know there's the kind of plethora of fixtures, because we've got the 2 or 3 week break in January, and the Scottish Cup is in its, in my mind, its rightful place towards the, you know, the after the turn of the year rather than beforehand, as it had been in a couple of seasons past. But I didn't think quite understand the need to reschedule the Aberdeen game in December when there are 6 or 7 other fixtures already penciled in for the month. And I think Celtic have got even worse. I think they've got an extra fixture again on top of what everybody else has. I mean, I don't see why they couldn't have, you know, held fire. I know there's the danger that you may get postponements after the turn of the year, or cup replays or whatever, but I just don't see the need to pencil the Aberdeen one in. The rest of them, I'm sure, you know, it's been discussed in the past that unfortunately there are teams that are going to suffer just with the geographical spread of the teams in the league now. We're having Cali and Ross County in there, Aberdeen. You know, the ones that's in the kind of extremities, either north or south, unfortunately they've got a fair trek involved in it. And even, you know, it's always kind of mooted Aberdeen going to Inverness or Dingwall or whatever. You know, it's not that much of a leap from us going up there or them coming down. So I think it's unfortunate the spread of away games that we've had, that it's fallen, that you've got, you know, Perth, and you've also got, you know, Inverness away between Christmas and New Year. But the Aberdeen one, in my mind, is unnecessary to have that one penciled in. You know, I think that could have been held back until after the turn of the year at least. But you're quite correct. I mean, people are going to pick and choose. There is perhaps the retained belief that you always get the rise in attendances round about festive fixtures, so you may get the turn. I don't even know if those figures back that up in the last few years, but you may get the turn, you know, likes of the Aki's game or something like that. But it's certainly not going to be the case that, you know, I would imagine there'll be a particularly big crowd in Inverness and Motherwell. You know, I think there'll be a lot of people actually bringing back to work that day as well. You know, those that aren't fortunate enough to get the full time off between Christmas and New Year's. There's the travelling involved. We've already had Aberdeen and Perth to go to in the weeks preceding. So you can totally understand if fans decide to, you know, pick and choose or give it a miss. It's just the way it is, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that there's possibly more that should be done? I know in the past without kind of reciprocal deals between clubs to kind of help get punters in the gate. Aberdeen are obviously coming to Fir Park on the 23rd. The game's on the telly. It'll be kind of another hand. It'll be people's last day at work before Christmas for many. Maybe that will help and kind of let a lot of the Aberdeen fans get away early and get down for the game. But at the same time, we should be looking at making it easier for our fans to get there on Tuesday, whether it be subsidised travel, subsidised tickets at the gate, and then do the same for Aberdeen when they come to Fir Park the 23rd. Or is that just too much like common sense?
I think we tried that in the past, and as someone who took advantage of it, I think was at Tannadice in Rugby Park. They would, the arrangement with them might have been one at Tynecastle as well in the past, but I think you've got difficulties in there. That, nice as it sounds in principle, I think there's always footery things that come up that make it more awkward. But in principle, I would definitely support such a, you know, an arrangement. How you do it? I mean, do you just do it with season ticket holders? Do you do it with transport when not a lot of people perhaps use buses to go to away games in comparison to what there was, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago? It's a difficult one how to kind of actually put in place. But in principle, yeah, you think, you know, there's no reason why we can't try and do something that's going to at least help, you know, supporters get to away games, and even our own supporters get to home games that, you know, may stay a distance away. I think there's the constraints are going to be there, that who's going to manage it. You know, there were instances before in the past where you would get to like the turnstile and the turnstile operator didn't know that this arrangement was in place. There was only particular turnstiles were accepting a ticket. You had to take a particular voucher. So as I say, there's kind of practicalities make it difficult to work in practice, I think. But, you know, definitely in principle, what we can do in there, if there's anything we can do to kind of make life easier for everybody, then it has to be a beneficial move.
I get the point about the buses, but the kind of upshot would be if this game's been put on the fixture list now for a couple of months at least, if people are to know that if they travel by bus and perhaps from Fir Park at 3 o'clock on the Tuesday, that if they go on, they'll receive a match ticket for free or at a subsidised rate. They're making extra money on the buses that they didn't expect to make. People know that that's the kind of organised thing to help them get along to the game. There may be a few people that choose not to take the car and to take the bus instead for a one-off, because, well, we don't take the bus to any games. If it was a case that I was going on Tuesday night, it would possibly be the only option for me to get there, given that my car can only go about 60 miles and then it will break down at the side of the road. So I think it would maybe encourage people to use the bus, and it's kind of almost acknowledging the people, because I think everybody that goes on Tuesday night definitely deserves a hell of a lot of praise for going to so much effort to follow the team, because it really is it's a difficult one to get to, and the exact same with Inverness, and then in February you've got Ross County in a midweek as well, so it's going to really be reserved for the diehards and those that are lucky enough to be able to work the shifts around games like that, because it's a hell of a run, and we sometimes can feel a bit victimised by it, but I guess it's just one of these things. But yeah, certainly a difficult time to follow the team.
I think that
sorry, Buster, that's the second time that's happened.
No, that's fine. I thought you were waiting somebody to come in. I was just going to say, I think that in this country, we're kind of lucky that it's a small enough country anyway. You know, I mean, most of the teams are sort of centrally located. So when it comes to going up to Aberdeen and Inverness, Ross County,
it can be a bit of a pain in the arse, but you know, I think we're generally lucky enough anyway as it is. But as you say, it's a hard one, especially when it comes to midweek fixtures, or you know, fixtures around about Christmas period where there is no easily accessible travel options, as you says.
Well, in terms of just a point as well, in terms of the Aberdeen game, for example, on Tuesday, I was considering that I probably won't go, partly because it's looking like I'd be driving myself. So, you know, you factor in the boredom and also the petrol money on top of the ticket price and things like that, again, in the run-up to Christmas. In terms of running buses, though, I think that, you know, it's supply and demand, isn't it? I mean, how many folk would go up in the bus? That's the question. If the club decided to go on a subsidised bus to get to the Dodgy, would they be out of pocket? Would there be enough demand there to make it, you know, to make it viable? I mean, there's a lot of questions that we need to be answered before they could go ahead and do that. And, you know, Andy mentioned the Inverness game. You're both called Andy, so it's fine, it was one of you. But the Inverness game, the midweek game on the 28th, I believe it is. You know, the idea of playing that game when people will have returned to work. Now, I'm lucky enough that I'm off and I'm going to go up to Inverness, but I understand that a lot of people don't. In fact, I'm meant to be back at work that day. It's just, you know, annual leave has come into play to make sure I'm off the week of Christmas. But so many folk go back to work that week that I don't understand why it has to be the 28th. You know, it was only a few years ago that we drove up to the Tawdry on Boxing Day. Now, I'm not suggesting that everybody wants to go to the football on Boxing Day. A lot of people still, you know, enjoying Christmas with their families and they'll have plans. But at least a lot more people will be off on Boxing Day. Not everybody, but a lot more people will be off on Boxing Day, and so the opportunity is there to get to the game. By having it on what is essentially a work day, you know, it just kind of defeats the purpose for me. At the end of the day, there is nothing to stop them, you know, having it on one of the days that is more likely that fans can get to. And they've kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit like that.
Yeah, got to agree. Guys, we'll take a couple of minutes to talk about yesterday's toy drive. And Jay, it was another resounding success with the help of the Well Society. Lots of items donated, a great variation as well, which I'm sure will delight the charities dishing the toys out, because it kind of captured the imagination, a great turnout. Thankfully, the rain stayed off till quite close to kick-off as well, so we remained dry while standing up there. It was great to see so many Kilmarnock fans get behind the initiative as well. Another thing that I think it's fair to say that we're very proud of, we've been lucky enough to have quite a few events in the closing months of 2016, and hopefully can kind of push on and do some more in 2017, because we've met some great people through it, and it's also been... it's been enjoyable to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing with the toy drive is, you know, for me, it's slightly different than a food bank collection, in that it's a little bit more of a step into the unknown in terms of how many people are going to actually donate. Because obviously with a food bank kind of collection, you might have tins, you know, in your cupboard, or you can nip to the shop on the way, you know, round the corner on the way to the game. Whereas a toy drive, when it's you know, at new presents and new toys and new games, you know, a lot of people will have to have, you know, seen about it and actually purposely went out to buy things. Not everybody has, you know, a lot of new board games and new toys just sitting in the cupboard. So to get the number of donations we got, I think, you know, I'm not great at estimating these things, but I think the general consensus, it was over 500 toys, which I think is fantastic. You know, obviously the Well Society did a lot of help with it. The Motherwell and Kilmarnock fans who donated. Also got to thank, you know, the likes of, I noticed the Wishaw Press had retweeted it in the run-up, as did some players, local MP as well. So, you know, it was really good that we kind of got it out there, you know, to the best of our ability with the resources we've got. Enough people obviously read about it and heard about it that we managed to get a fantastic number of toys. Slightly disappointed that there was obviously a few folk who hadn't heard about it, and they were quite disappointed that they hadn't come over and turn up with a donation. So perhaps if we'd had, you know, a wee bit, you know, better advertising and marketing and could get it out, you know, some way to more Motherwell fans, we might have actually been able to, or we certainly would have been able to get even more toys for those who go without this Christmas. So overall, it was fantastic. You know, don't want to keep rhyming off the folks in fact, because at the end of the day, it's more about the people who are obviously going to get the presents. And as you say, it was such a variety that, you know, I don't think, you know, when it comes to those who are divvying them up and deciding, you know, who gets what, they won't have to be too worried about, you know, having too many toys of one age group. I think it was a fantastic collection. In fact, there was a few things I quite fancied. I quite fancied that Call of Duty board game you brought in, but unfortunately I didn't steal it. But no, it was fantastic, and it's obviously great to do those kind of things.
I'm just sorry that, again, I missed it yesterday. I wasn't there. You know, looking through obviously the tweets and stuff of the collection that was gathered there, you know, through the donations, it's absolutely fantastic. As Jay says, there's a lot of stuff there, and it's good to know that the way things are for some people these days, you know, there's going to be people less fortunate who won't go with it because of the generosity of the Motherwell and Kilmarnock fans. So well done to everybody involved.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a vital thing to acknowledge, the fact that anything we've done, whether it be the book or the recent quiz night and fundraiser for the ladies' team, all these things would just be the three of us and a few from the Well Society sitting in a room if it wasn't for the fact that the Motherwell fans get behind these things so much. So that's it's an absolute vital element, and you can do all the work you want, but unless people actually support it and get behind it, then you've got no chance. So really, it's down to the generosity and the interest and support of the supporters that have made anything that we've done a success, and I think that's quite important to acknowledge. So thank you to everyone that has got involved, and even the people that just came along and said hello and listened to the podcast and various other things yesterday. It was a really good day. I enjoyed it a lot. In fact, I enjoyed the toy drive a lot more than I enjoyed the football. Guys, well, a wee bit shorter this week. I know we've got a few things on tonight, so I'll kind of wrap it up there. We've got a busy week next week because we'll have to look back on the Aberdeen game, the St Johnstone game, and then look ahead to quite a few fixtures as well over the Christmas and New Year period. But thanks very much to all three of you for your time tonight.
Cheers. No bother, thank you.
No problem. And just actually on behalf of, you were mentioning the Motherwell fans that had taken part in the drive, I think it's to your credit also, if I can kind of speaking on behalf of, you know, the Motherwell support at large, that it's good that yous are putting in the effort and going to the lengths to allow Motherwell fans to, you know, donate in collections such as the toy drive, and I know the Well Boys have been involved in the past with the food bank stuff as well. So I think just, you know, a bit of credit is due to yourself for getting out there, giving people the opportunity to actually donate and do a little good.
Thank you, much appreciate that. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.